His message was taken from this passage from John, chapter 8. And his message was entitled, Stop Being a Slave to Sin. The message was well received. It was dynamic and engaging, and so after church, the people left and they were energized. They couldn't wait to come back and hear the pastor again the next Sunday. And on that second Sunday, the pastor's message was again taken from the same passage, John chapter 8. And again, it was titled, Stop Being a Slave to Sin. The congregation was confused. It was the same sermon, word for word, same thing. But they didn't say anything. They just left. The next Sunday, the third Sunday, the pastor's sermon was once again taken from John chapter 8. The same words, the same title, Stop Being a Slave to Sin. Word for word, the same thing. Now this time, the deacons and the elders of the church were worried about what was going on. They had to say something. The pastor kept giving the same sermon, word for word, over and over again. And so they called a special meeting with the pastor to discuss his choice of sermons. So one elder says to the pastor, Don't you have any other sermons? You're sounding like a broken record. The pastor responded, Yes, I have plenty of sermons. However, I'm going to keep preaching this sermon until you get it right. Then I'll move on to something else. If there's one thing preachers can sound like, it's like a broken record. We keep saying the same thing over and over again, repeating ourselves. And in this passage from John chapter 8, we hear the words of Christ, and they're words that we hear in many ways throughout Scripture. Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Yes, we get it, Jesus. We've heard this before. Pastor, we've heard this before. After all, we say the words many times in our confession of sin. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Here we say that every first Sunday of the month. We say those words a lot. We know it. And yet, like the congregation that heard the same message over and over and over again, we just can't get it right. We can't break free. We all have stuff in our lives that binds us, puts us into bondage. And it all needs taking care of. For some of us, that stuff is really significant, and it's a weight upon us. And slavery to it is really a perfect description of that stuff. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's some real deep sin that you just have in your life. You cannot get rid of it. It haunts you. Maybe it's a behavior that you have that you just can't break free of, and you're afraid to do so because doing so might cause you the loss of friends, family, other relationships. You feel a weight from these things, and that weight, bondage is a correct way to describe that weight. You are in bondage to sin. You cannot free yourself. Now, maybe some of us, though, we don't feel that weight. We don't feel like we're a slave to sin. That might not, you know, we don't have anything dramatic in our lives. Maybe you're not addicted to anything. So you don't feel like a slave to something. But the fact remains, we all have our stuff, right? We all have our sin. The only difference is that maybe your stuff is more varied than somebody else's. It's maybe even more socially acceptable, and so it doesn't feel like you're a slave to it. Maybe for you, sin is a Chinese buffet, and you take a little bit of everything instead of loading your plate full of sweet and sour chicken like any normal human being would do. The point is, we all have stuff. Stuff in our lives that we regret, things that we know are wrong. that we cannot break free of. And if we let it, it haunts us when we go to sleep at night. Each of us commits sin, and as Christ says, we are therefore slaves to it. So because of this, we need to hear the broken record. In the movie Good Will Hunting, Sean, a psychologist played by Robin Williams, is assigned a brilliant young man named Will. This guy could solve any mathematical problem. He could work for NASA if he wants, though instead he's a janitor at a school. Sean needs to help Will cope with his anger that he has, these abandonment issues that he has, anger issues. And so at one point, the psychologist, Sean, looks at Will, and he looks at Will's file. And he opens it up, and he sees in this file all sorts of terrible things. He reads about how Will's stepfather would beat him, would take wrenches to his body and beat him. And Will would allow himself to be beaten so that his stepfather wouldn't beat his mother or his younger brother. Sean sees pictures of Will's bruises and scars. And all this while Will is standing there, kind of sheepishly in the corner, trying not to make eye contact with Sean. Eventually, Sean closes the file, looks at Will and says, "Will, you see this? I don't know a lot, but I know this. It's not your fault." And Will at first kind of shrugs it off. Like, "Yeah, Sean, I know, I know." But Sean keeps going, "No, Will, it's not your fault." And each time, Will shrugs it off, and eventually he even gets hostile towards Sean. And Sean keeps saying to him, like a broken record, "It's not your fault, Will. It's not your fault." He makes him look him in the eyes. "It's not your fault." He repeats those words over and over again until Sean is finally broken down. The wall of guilt and shame that he had put around him crumbles down, and he breaks down in tears and embraces Sean. He is finally freed from the guilt he carried for years and years. Will needed to hear the same sermon over and over and over again. "It's not your fault," until he was finally broken. He was a slave to his guilt because of his stepfather's sin. We too need to be broken, but our breaking happens differently than it does for Will. See, we are sinners, slaves to sin, and we need to hear the Word of God tell us this over and over again. Instead of hearing, "It's not your fault," we need to hear, "It is your fault. It is your fault. It is your fault. You are guilty. You are guilty. You are in bondage to sin, and you cannot free yourself." We need to hear those words. But we also need to hear what comes next, because the Lord never leaves us there. They are never the last words in our ears. The Lord never leaves a sinner beaten and broken on the side of the road. He goes to them. He breaks us down in order to make us new again. We are in bondage to sin, cannot free ourselves. We hear this word from the Lord, but then we hear the promise of Jesus Christ, who died for you, was raised to new life for you, so that you guilty scoundrels, could be forgiven, so that you could be set free. If Christ is your psychologist and you are the guilty, troubled young person, He is the one who looks you in the eye, says to you over and over and over again, "I died for you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. You are free. You are free. You are free. I've told our confirmation students here that today, as we make public confession, it's not a graduation. We have in our minds so often that confirmation is a graduation of some kind. It's not. It's not a graduation. We don't graduate from church. Graduation implies leaving. It implies moving on to something else. But we don't graduate from our need to hear the absolving words of Christ. We don't graduate from this need to hear, Jackson, you're a sinner. You know this. But you are forgiven. Sierra, you're a sinner. But you are forgiven. Mac, Alex, you too. You're sinners. But you are forgiven. We need to hear these words that Jesus died for us. We don't graduate from hearing the truth, a truth that tells us you are a child of God. You are forgiven. The words of Jesus that tells us you are free, I am yours, you are mine. You are free. You are free. You are free. So, as people about to be confirmed by this church, you will make public confession, publicly proclaim what you believe, and as doing so, you become a disciple of Jesus. And so Christ says to you in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. To continue in Christ's words, look at me, guys. Hey. To continue in Christ's words, you decided to sit up here, so you're going to get, okay. To continue in Christ's words is to dwell in them, to abide in them, to live in them. The word literally means to make a tent in the words of Christ. We don't graduate from that. So I implore you today, don't sever yourself from hearing God's word of love and forgiveness for you. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ who died for us and gives us his word of forgiveness, a word we need to hear over and over and over again. Remind us of this word every day as we pray, as we come before you and our needs. Remind us of it through our baptism. Call it to our mind as we receive forgiveness in your body and blood. And as we hear your word, we pray this in your name. Amen.